Welcome back to Tall Boy Radio, episode 189, for those of you who like to keep score. And, as we always say, who knows where it goes when the beer flows? Well, I'll tell you where it goes, just about anywhere on this place we call Earth. Whether that be flat or round, we'll leave it up to you. We don't judge when we're here. So, tonight we're going to do an episode with just the three of us, so let's introduce the hosts. And why don't you tell us where you've been on your summer travels? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Good to be back, guys. You'll have to apologise, or I'll apologise for the croakiness of my voice. I've caught a batch of the old dreaded virus, so if I sound a bit croaky, then I apologise. But yeah, looking forward to this. Yeah, I've been a few places during the summer holidays, sort of family holiday to Florida, so we could talk all about that in a bit. We had a fantastic time, very hot, but fantastic time. And then when we got back, as part of my extended sort of 50th birthday treat, I ended up going to Scotland for a week golfing, and no doubt we'll sort of talk about that. That was exceptional as well. So yeah, quite a few places, a couple of places in between for the odd day here or there. So been all over the place.
Winner, winner. Dave, tell us where you've been.
I've been to Lanzarote for 2 weeks. The one that's not Tenerife.
And myself, I have been off to San Antonio in Texas, or at least in nearby Floresville or Floresville. Still not 100% sure of the pronunciation. So what we're going to do tonight, like we've done an episode where we talked about travel tips. We looked at, you know, the different places we were going to go. We shared a few travel tips with the guy from A Brit Travels, Lee Stroud. He came on and he joined us and he shared some tips. And we're going to be maybe sharing some tips that we learned on those travels. But at the same time, we're going to be talking about those travels and also talking a little bit about what those meant to us. Now, I know from my own point of view, we've shared this story quite a few times on the podcast in terms of me tracking down my American family. And this is again, an extended part of that. So we'll be looking and we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But first, guys, like you and I were talking the other day and we nipped for a quick pint in a bar, part of the old Titanic Plum Porter. You were sharing about, you know, a little bit of the reason behind your trip and why you wanted to make the most of it this time. Did you want to share that with us, dude?
Yeah, it was really, we sort of, for the last couple of years, we've been to Florida before, to 5 or 6 years ago. And the first time we've been, it was a fantastic experience. We all loved it. Obviously, the girls were younger then. And this year was sort of quite a big year. There were lots of dates that seemed to occur this year. So obviously, I've mentioned already, you know, I'm 50 this year. It was myself and Jenny's 20th wedding anniversary. Amy was 18. She's my eldest. My youngest Abby, she was 16. Obviously, completing A-levels, completing GCSEs. So it just seemed as though it was like quite a big year sort of thing. And we sort of spoke to the girls and said, what is it that you wanted to do? Where do you want to go? Thinking potentially it might be the last time that we all go away. I mean, it might not. I mean, obviously, Amy's off to university. So what that brings, we don't know. So, and they said, we want to go back to Florida. And we went, oh, okay. We had a sort of fantastic time and they'd updated their eyes and stuff. So the experience wasn't completely the same. And we had a blast. It was great. It was hot. It was sticky. It was muggy. But we had a great time. Kids loved it. It's weird because one of Amy's friends said, so basically you turned 18 in July and you could have gone anywhere in the world to have a drink. You decided to go to the one country that you can't have a drink when you're 18 sort of thing. So, you know, she sort of laughed and joked about that. But yeah, you know, we had a great time. Myself and the missus probably won't be going back for a while now. Obviously, we've done it. We've been there. We've done that. You know, we probably won't be doing that again. Obviously, whether or not our girls end up going again, who knows sort of thing. But yeah, that, you know, that was the rationale for going. We asked the girls. They said that's where they wanted to go. So that's where we went.
Indeed. And one of the things you said to me as well, which really made me think as well, was you were looking, like you say, at the age of your kids, and you're probably unlikely to be going back to Disney World until maybe you were a grandparent, which could be a few years from now. And yeah. Well, you hope it's a few years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and in then you probably won't be of the age that you're likely to do any of the roller coasters and stuff. So that's interesting. And it really makes you sort of think about your time on this planet and how you should probably make the most of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, so as I say, my eldest is just off to university. So you think, you know, if she, you know, met a guy, got to university, had a child at, I don't know, 24, 25 maybe, and then wait until they were 10, you know, that's another 15 years. So that's me being 65, you know. So at the age of 65, am I going to still enjoy roller coasters? I've just seen a comment that's come up. And I, actually, it's funny because while we're talking about travels, Amy, who is my daughter, is actually in Barcelona. So, hi, Amy, if you're listening, hope you're having a great time. She's in Barcelona with one of her friends.
And just for the record, Amy, he actually, you'll be very proud of your dad tonight. He managed to set it all up by himself, and he got his all set up, done already. Don't get me wrong, we had to come on 8 o'clock and test it just to be sure. So Dave, then tell us about your holiday. Tell us a little bit about what was the reason behind why you chose where you chose.
Lanzarote. We normally go France or Germany and drive around a lot and go and see a load of places, and we decided that we'd have one holiday with a villa with a pool and perhaps just have more of a holiday. All a bit exhaustive, in the house for over a year on and off, work's been really mad, and we thought just have a nice lazy one. That was the reason. It didn't really turn out like that because still it went off, but that was the motivation. Although most days we were sort of just floating around in the pool for an hour or two once we got back home, so that was nice. But I mean, like Gaz said, the kids, you know, my kids aren't quite as old as Gaz. They're nearly 15 and 16, but they're not far behind. Not going to be that many more, I think. In fact, they've already been talking, you know, I want to go here next year. I don't want to go there. So it's, well, I won't go to that one. I'll go to the one after. So they're already having those kind of conversations.
Cool. For myself, as you well know, this was a very important trip for me to take. It's one, you know, that I probably thought about off and on, maybe for the last 12 years, whether it was a realistic possibility 12 years ago. Clearly it wasn't, and I didn't know where the destination would be. But anyone who does know the story, I'm afraid I'm going to bore you a little bit, and I'll tell you a little bit and fill in a few of the blanks. So I tracked down my granddad via Ancestry.com, and it led me to contacting them in America. I contacted a guy by the name of Bo Barnett, and he was at the time living in Mississippi, but since moved to Texas. Now, last February, we were fortunate enough to have him over here. He joined us in sunny old England, although it was quite rainy and wet on that occasion, as it is again today. And he joined us on the podcast. And we did an episode with him here, live here, when he, you know, from his stay. And that in itself was a mind-blowing experience, something that I never thought realistically could happen. Growing up, not knowing who my granddad was or where the American family could be if they were still out there. So it was an exciting experience. And then to be able to do that extra trip and be able to go out to Texas and just see a little bit about how they live, a life that you never know. If things had turned out a little bit different, I could have been living myself. You just never know. But the wonderful thing is I got to take my wife and kids with me, and they got to experience it as well. So to share in that was fantastic. I spent my 50th birthday in Texas. They threw a massive party for me. We had a huge barbecue there, and the food was absolutely phenomenal. So a massive, massive shout out to Kyler Felix, who cooked it. And he's won awards for his barbecue, and I can tell you now, it is next level. The pork belly and the ribs were nothing like I've ever tasted before in my life. They were absolutely fantastic. But for me, the whole thing, it's surreal, and I don't want to call it the holiday of a lifetime, purely because it almost implies that then I would never go back, that it's a one-off, and it won't be a one-off. You know, I was chatting to Bo yesterday via WhatsApp, and again today, funnily enough, and at some point I will take that trip again, because we left a few things we did, you know, undone. We said we were going to smoke a cigar. We never quite got around to it, but we did have a few beers and quite a few whiskey. So yeah, it was, for me, it was a very meaningful journey, and it was for my kids as well. Like my little lad JJ, that's all he's talked about since he's been back. You know, so it's been phenomenal. Have you guys got any stories that you can share from your holidays that might make us laugh, might make us cry, or perhaps provoke another emotion?
I'll just before I talk about myself, I mean, obviously, you know, for those, you know, you've covered the background a bit about you and Bo, and, you know, obviously, you know, being good friends with you for a while now, I knew how much it meant to you, and just to see you really contend, and, you know, the photos when you were there and stuff, and just to see almost it full circle, it was great. You know, Bo had been over here with Chris, you know, spent some time over here, and then for you to go over there, it's like a sort of full circle thing. And I know you're desperate to go back, and I've got no doubt that you will end up going back at some point. So, you know, that was great to see, really. I mean, funny stories. I mean, I know one thing, you go to America, and if you've ever driven in America, and I've spoken about this before, you sort of run the risk of sort of not really understanding the laws of driving the road, because cars come from everywhere, like five lanes go into eight lanes before you know it, and you can turn right on a red light at sort of traffic lights and stuff. It's a bit weird. And all of their cars are absolutely fudging huge. So when you arrive there, so, you know, we hired a car, and this time we stayed in a hotel. Previously, we stayed in a villa, but we had a hotel, and we stayed in one of the Universal hotels. But we needed a car to get to some of the other parks. So we arrive in the airport, and so go into the parking lot, and it's like, right, you're aisle three. So you go down to aisle three, and I think we had like a medium SUV or something. Oh my days, they are all like huge. They're like, literally, you can just go down the lot and like pick the one you want. And so keys are already in there. Just go, literally just go pick the one you want. So walking down, it's like, I like the look of that one, and I like the look of that one. And so we ended up having like this big sort of Dodge thing, and it's pretty cool. But you drive it on the road, and it does take you a little bit of a while just to get used to sort of, obviously you drive on the other side of the road, and we do. So for the first sort of day or so, you're a bit wary, but I mean, after that you get used to it. But every single car is huge. There isn't such thing as a small car, and driving in the States is a bit hairy, to say the least, sort of thing. But stories, yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I don't know whether Dave has any, otherwise I'll run the risk of sort of rambling for the next sort of 15-20 minutes. So Dave, I don't know whether you have any or not.
So a car thing, and it ties into the holiday tips, really. We'd deliberately hired a compact car because the airport was only 10 minutes away. So we thought, we'll just, as long as we get the cases in, a couple of cases on our knees, get to the villa, and once the car's unloaded, I don't need to be driving a big car around a little island for 2 weeks. But what I forgot to do is say, I want an automatic. So I got there after a long journey, late at night, loaded the car, and it was only, not only is the steering wheel on the wrong side, but it was a manual. And I just hadn't driven one for such a long time. So, you know, it's like you just arrived in another country, wrong side of the road, steering wrong side of the car. You've got to use a gear stick. You're knackered. Suitcases on. So, yeah, just back to holiday tips. If you're going to book a car abroad, if you drive an automatic at home, book an automatic on your holiday.
I suppose that there's one sort of funny story is that we were driving, and we picked an automatic because obviously you go to America and sort of most cars are automatic now over there, sort of thing. So all of the high cars were automatic, so we picked one. But I must have like knocked the gear lever, and it must have gone into manual because I can hear the engine revving, but we weren't sort of going anywhere. So I must have put it into just like a manual shift instead of being automatic. So the car's revving and revving and revving, thinking, is there something wrong with the car? Something. And I suddenly realized, you know, I'm at like 8,000 revs or something, and I'm going about 20 miles an hour, and literally the car engine is absolutely screaming. And I'm thinking, why is he not changing gear? And then obviously I looked down. What I must have done is actually just knocked it into some manual. So the engine's absolutely screaming, and they're just like, what a doofus. So obviously flick it back into that automatic, and then it sort of goes through the gears and stuff. So, that was literally just driving along for ages going, why is he not changing gear? And looking at all of the things on the dash and trying to figure out what's going on. Then I looked down and it was like, yeah, and I just flicked it into the manual. That's probably why. So yeah. So that would be a travel tip is orientate yourself with the car before you start driving, I suppose.
In terms of travel tips, guys, so you remember when we had Leon, Paul chipped in from the Seismic Cinema podcast.
Yeah.
He gave us that tip about not using or not taking hip flasks through security. What gift do you imagine then, based on that, I decided to take for Bo and Chris, who both do enjoy a glass of whiskey from town to town?
Possibly hip flask?
Yeah, I took two hip flasks. And I can confirm with Paul that that is indeed a true story. It will take you to one side and have your bag searched. I can promise you that. And other things that aren't going to help you, by the way, guys. So this is another travel tip. So the wife had asked me, so everything, you know, they always ask you, did you pack that bag yourself? Did you pack that bag yourself? And I did. Apart from one thing that my wife had asked me to carry in there. So, you know, if they were there to say, did you pack this? No, my wife put it in there. I did not say that. Wet wipes. Apparently, can look like a big bag of Coke on an X-ray.
Brilliant.
They took it out and swabbed it.
One of the things when we get into all the parks, every time, so you go into all the parks and there's a metal detector you've got to walk through. And people were walking in with the bags. And I walked through, it's like, sir, just step over to the side. I'm like, oh, okay, like what this time? They went through and said, okay, off you go. And then the following day I went through again, same bag, sort of on my shoulder. I'm like, definitely haven't got anything in there. And it took me ages to realise, and this is another travel tip, that it's a glasses case. So if you have a glasses case in your bag, apparently, you know, the back of the glasses case, it's got a metal strip across it, so that will set it off. And he said, what you need to do is you need to walk with it in your hands like that. So So basically you need to walk with it out and open so they can see what it is. They can see it's open, see there's nothing in it. And they said, what will happen is if they can see that it's right in front of you, it will recognize that before you. Whereas if it's in your bag, they think you've got something on you. And it probably took me 4 or 5 parks to realize that. That's another travel tip, is that, you know, just sunglasses case, that sets it off as well.
That's not ideal, is it, really? Because that's going to be something that just about everybody's going to be carrying on their trips when they travel abroad.
Absolutely, yeah. So just be careful of that one.
Indeed, indeed. So we'll go to Dave. We'll ask Dave a question now. I don't know if he's still behind. Let's see if he's smirking as I'm saying this. I know when the smile will appear on his face when he's going, yeah, there we go, we're around about on time. So Dave, then, did you take any special trips anywhere you visited that was worth mentioning to our listeners? If anybody else is out there who's planning on visiting Lanzarote, can you give them one place that they should definitely visit?
Oh, you see, the danger is now I'm going to have to remember the names of places. And it was a few weeks ago. There was this, actually tying it back to the trips one again. I think, Gaz, you mentioned this in the last episode. I was listening to it the other day. It's about buying the city passes, I think you called it, and Lanzarote through the Lanzarote sort of government or authority or whatever they're called. They have an organized tourism thing, and you can get three, four, six different passes in one ticket. And we bought that it was actually 7 places you could go on one ticket. And that was really good because you could plan the island, see where it was, and then 2 or 3 of them you could do on like one day trip, and another one was in a different place. And that had things like, I think the Fire Mountain was the touristy name of it. It's got a proper name in Spanish, but that's like the volcano, the one that's still actually active. So you go up there and then they throw you around on a coach for about 15 minutes, which wasn't pleasant, around the actual sort of active volcano. And they've got like this hole in the ground that you can actually feel the heat, and they get some shrubs, poke it down in a stick, and in about 2 minutes it just bursts into flames. And then they're cooking chicken on top of this big vent, which is basically just the volcanic heat coming up, and they got so that was pretty awesome to see. And then there was like caves which were made from the lava tunnels, and you go pretty deep down into these lava tunnels, you can see the seams of lava that flowed through. So they were probably the two stand out in terms of pure sightseeing. But there's some famous architect whose name I can't remember, Michael something or other. He built these sort of very architectural sort of buildings. They've got like really big buildings with like pools. It's all white and curves. And he's done 2 or 3 of these on the island, and the style is quite strong through them. Again, they're just great places. You pop along, walk around for half an hour, 45 minutes, then have a cold drink and poodle on to the next place. So there's quite a few, but that ticket is probably covers the main ones, I would suggest.
Yeah, cool. I think you've got to be careful. You know, there's always rip-off merchants, and there's various different, you know, you go to big cities and there's, you know, there's a couple of cities in America, and one's called like the city tour, and then the next one is the big city tour, and the next one is something else. It's like they're dead similar, and there's a couple of sort of perhaps slightly less reputable ones around. So, you know, do your research before, but, you know, we've covered that in April Travels, you know, just do your research before. But yeah, you know, if you're actually not sure, then those city passes are worth it. And I'd say my daughter's in Barcelona at the moment, and her and a friend have done exactly that. They've got one of the city passes. I think they got up to maybe sort of 6, 8 different things, Sagrada Familia and Montjuïc, and then Park Güell and places like that, you know. So it's a really good way of sort of getting around and seeing each of the different things. And particularly if you've got a hop on, hop off bus, then it's great because, you, as you said, Dave, you just plan your route and you can just say, well, spend a couple of hours here. We know where the stop is. In a couple of hours, I would hop on the bus and then just go to the next one. You know, so that's really, really useful.
Indeed, indeed. And Paul, who is watching on YouTube, he's just chipped in to say that he's just got back from Vegas and it is the best place in the world for people watching if you are into that kind of thing. And Paul, I can totally agree with you. I've been to Vegas. I used to go every year, to be honest, before my kids were born. And it is literally one of my favorite places on earth. And I'm not relishing the idea of having to wait till they're 21 to take them back there because the little lad's only 4. So the idea of having to wait 17 years it doesn't thrill me. But yeah, I absolutely love Vegas, and it is absolutely brilliant for people watching. Sorry, what were you going to say there, Dave?
I was just going to say, you know, off the beaten track as well, as you're driving through these places, you pass places, and we stumbled across a ceramics pottery art type place, but it was just basically somebody's home. but him and his wife, he did pottery and his wife did painting, and there's a sign outside open. And we went in there, and this guy, he was the loveliest guy, you know, he's just like completely genuine. And he just tells you about his home, how he bought it. Apparently him and his wife, he comes from Bolivia or Bavaria, the one that's in the Alps, near the Alps somewhere, one of those two. Bavaria, I think, is probably the one.
Bavaria, David.
Maybe. Bavaria, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And he was saying how him and his then girlfriend came over for a holiday when they met like 40 odd years ago, and they stayed in this little place that they now live in. And then they went back, then they got married, and then they said, well, shall we go there and buy it? So they bought it, and then they bought next door. And he's telling you all this story, and he's got all his wife's art up, and he's got all of his pottery and the stuff he's made. We actually spent €100 just buying like 7 or 8 things. The kids liked a couple of things. I got a couple of little espresso mugs, and it's just all made stuff there. His kiln was on when we were there. There was somebody else helping out, grinding down pottery. It was just, you know, that was, you know, probably one of the highlights. And it just, it's not a touristy thing, but it was one of the highlights because it was just genuine, nice people doing stuff.
Indeed, indeed. And I'm guessing then when you bought your plates and you got home and they were made by someone by the name of Twy Ford, yeah? Like that wine bottle Aldi you bought in France. A couple of comments that we've had then on the podcast. So Amy entirely, Gaz's daughter entirely agrees with Paul there. My good self, that Vegas was mega. Albert tells us, yes, it was Bavaria. And my cousin has chimed in saying, remember the Alamo. So I'm going to share this story now. One of my biggest regrets in life, okay, and Gaz, I've probably told this story on the podcast, actually, was I've been to see the Canterbury Tales. And I forget where I'd seen it. But anyway, there's an actor by the name of Brian Glover in it, one of my favourite actors. You'll probably remember him in Kes, A Kestrel for a Knave, that kind of stuff. He played the sports teacher. But he was also in American Werewolf in London telling a very, very famous joke. And when he tells this joke, the punchline is, remember the Alamo, and kicks out the Mexican. And it's, you know, and everybody sort of bursts out laughing. And then the two American guys say, you know, what does the star on the wall mean? Well, it's a line that stuck with me forever, that I remember the album. Me and my brother say it to each other all the time. So then when it turned out that Bo actually lived just on the outskirts of San Antonio, one of the places that we absolutely had to see is the Alamo, of course. Now, when I went to see Brian Glover in this play in the Canterbury Tales, he was in the bar afterwards. So we went next door and he was in the bar, and I wanted to go up to him and say, remember the Alamo? And my wife, my ex-wife, sorry, had stopped me from going over and saying to him, because I'd had a few beers, and she felt it wasn't necessarily appropriate. So Brian Glover sadly passed on, so I never, ever got to say that catchphrase to him. So what I did do, I had a T-shirt with that scene on my chest, and fair play to Joppa, because he's the only one who commented on my post and recognised it, of Rick Mail and Brian Glover sat there in the slaughtered lamb, where they were sharing that joke, and I wore it outside the Alamo when I went to visit. So in that way, I kind of got to fulfill a dream in a little bit of a way. But I will say this, absolutely fantastic place, blisteringly hot. It was 40 plus degrees when we visited it. My kids were moaning like nobody's business, but it is a fantastic place and a very historic place. Right in the center of San Antonio is this old church, which harks back to something like, I think it's 1876. If that's wrong, please comment on it there and let me know. But it's round about that time. And as we walked in, what's the first flag that we see? There's flags of all the people who died at the Alamo, the different states and the different countries. And hanging there, God bless it, is the Welsh flag, because there was a Welsh fella at the Alamo. Oh, and that was a real treat to see, I don't mind telling you.
Yeah, nice. I mean, I was trying to think. So when I was just going to think of a story there. So when we were in, I sort of going back to travel tip, and you just reminded me there when you said it was like baking hot, and it's 40 plus degrees. Obviously, in the summer when we went, it was, you know, you go on the app and it says like 38, 39, 40, but feels like 43, 44, 45, just because of the humidity and the temperatures over there. And the thing is, I suppose, about Florida is, you know, the first week we were there, we got quite lucky and it didn't really rain. The second week we were there, most of the afternoons it would rain for an hour or so, an hour and a half, and then it just stops, sort of thing. But you just reminded me there, and some people will say that it's a bit of a swizz, but if you're in the parks and they do it, buy one of the refillable cups, because you absolutely 100% get your money's worth of it. It is ridiculous. So you think, you know, one of the big refillable drink cups that you get, and they have refillable drink stations all around. It's like $20 or whatever it is. But when you think that individually each drink is like $6 or $7, you only have to have two or three drinks. And literally you're walking around like 40 degree heat, and we were drinking every 15, 20 minutes. And you never really think, you think, actually, you know, it's such good value. Disney don't do it, but Universal do it. I don't know whether SeaWorld do it, but certainly the Universal parks do it. And then what happens if you keep it? You just take it back the following day, effectively you get it rechipped. And if you take it back the following day, it's cheaper. So, you know, that's a real sort of travel tip as such, is that, you know, particularly if you've got kids, don't just keep buying drink after drink. Just get the refillable one. Because you turn around and you say, if you've got two kids, right, you get, you know, Coke Zero this time. And then next time you pick and you can have Sprite Zero, or you can have something else. And literally just get one. And I think they said you can only refill it. You can't refill it within 2 minutes of each other. So you have to wait at least 2 minutes to refill. But you think you're walking on a 40 degree heat for 10 hours, you're definitely going to get your money's worth out of it. So that'd be a little travel tip for me, is definitely do that.
100%. Yeah, we did that when we went to SeaWorld. And just before we get on to SeaWorld, because I know you visited SeaWorld when you went as well, Gazza, my cousin has just commented, the Alamo was built in 1718. The battle was fought in 1836. So I got three of those four digits for right. That's not too bad for me in my appalling memory. But despite that, I actually bought a shopping bag and I use it everywhere I go. So that's the only reason I could sort of semi-recall the dates. I've used it today when I went to the shops. So yeah, and hello, Stuart Willis. Thank you for watching as well. So yeah, we went to SeaWorld. We use one of those cups, and you're right. So when you first pick it up, $25, like one for my little lad and one for my daughter. I was drinking beer. It seemed quite expensive, but you're right. You do get your money's worth. So guys, you went to SeaWorld. Did you sit in the splash zone?
We did sit in the splash. Oh, actually, going back to funny stories, this was genius. So we did sit in the splash zone, and you sort of, you know, you're told it's freezing cold salt water. So, you know, you sort of think, oh, it's just a splash of a swimming pool. You know, it's nice chlorinated water and stuff. It's freezing cold salt water sort of thing. But we sat in the splash zone and we didn't really get that wet. But going back to a funny story, oh my God, we laughed. So we sat about four or five rows down from the back of the splash zone, and the Shamu show, although it's not Shamu anymore, but obviously the whale show was coming to an end. And this big guy, obviously with his missus, sort of comes strutting in, sort of down the aisle right next to us. And he'd got like chicken and chips, and the missus must have got like, I don't know, burger and chips or chicken tenders, whatever. And they sat down about three or four rows in front of us. And they'd been sitting down for about 2 seconds when the whale decided to splash. And this guy literally sat down after about 2 seconds, all this absolutely freezing cold seawater just come over him. And he just literally like went, nah, because he literally just sat down to eat, and all this food was just spoiled because he literally just sat down, and you could tell he really wanted to eat it. And within about 2 seconds, it was just spoiled. Honestly, it was so funny. We were laughing, but we tried not to because he was only about three or four rows in front of us, so didn't want to get me head kicked in sort of thing. But you could just tell, and I don't know whether he swore or not, but you could tell he's just one of those like, are you kidding me sort of thing, you know what I mean? Honestly, food just completely ruined. It's dead funny.
I think under those circumstances, dude, is absolutely fine to laugh at somebody. And similar to that, yeah, so we sat in the splash zone as well. So there was, you know, there was my kids and Bo came with us, obviously, as well. His wife had to work that day, unfortunately. And we were sat there, and the first thing I noticed is, so, was, you know, I think we were about seven rows back. There's some guy wandered in with a baby that was me, I would say less than 6 months old, barely could hold his head up. And he's walking in with it under his arm like that. He went and stood right at the front of the splash zone. You just think, dude, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen here. And inevitably, the whale goes past, swims past, the water comes surging up over the side, absolutely soaks this little baby with apoplectic. You know what I mean? Didn't know what to make. It would just be covered in cold water. And we didn't realize at this point just how cold that water was. Because it's baking up, and we're thinking, go on, it's with it. And then it splashes its tail. We got soaked, and the water doesn't smell of fresh either, because he's got fish swimming around in it, and, you know, obviously mammals as well. They feed him the fish. I know the difference. So we got absolutely soaked. And my little lad, JJ, he did not appreciate it one bit. So it's a great video of it. That was smell. We're all getting a little bit of relief from the heat. And JJ just screaming because he appreciated it just about as much as that little baby. God bless him.
The thing is, it's weird because you see people there with, like I say, as you say, with young kids. And it's like the shock on their face when they get wet. But it's, as you said, it's like, what did you expect to happen? It clearly is labelled the splash zone. Like, what is there to not understand? And they're going like, as if like, oh, I've got wet. It's like, yeah, you do know that. You're sitting in the splash zone. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. But that guy with the food was, he was really funny. Really, really funny.
Genius.
I was going to say, as we were talking about food, it's a food-related one, but it's not actually specific to my holiday, other than it happened whilst on holiday. We were just at home one afternoon having a bit of lunch, and we were just having a boiled egg sandwich, just a quick bite before we went out, and putting the salt on the egg, and the top just came off, and it was just a pile of salt on my boiled egg sandwich. So that was it made people laugh, and nice. But not me.
There's another story. We're in Florida, and we'd gone to City Walks, and we'd had a drink, and it's obviously turned to such Tuesday evening meal. So there's a place called Cowfish, which is a burger and sushi place. It's like, Abby's like, I like burgers and I like sushi, what's not to like? We'll go in there. Anyway, we get in there, like, it is basically, there's burgers and sushi, so you can choose like mini sliders, and the sliders are ridiculous. Like, they are tiny. Nice, but tiny. And there's various sushi dish. Anyway, I get this sort of dish, and it looked like sort of a bit of sort of cabbage or pickled cabbage or something. So I shoved the whole stuff in my mouth. So I was just like that. I was like, oh, and I was like, wow, like, what the hell was that? It was a massive, massive spoonful of wasabi. So literally, I'm like it's now pain sort of thing, because I just thought it was like a pickled cabbage sort of thing. It's just like its own little compartment on the plate sort of thing. So I've just sort of taken a spoon and just sort of whacked it. Well, literally like whole great big scoop of the whole thing just got like straight down. I'm like, whew. And I said to Jenny, what the hell was that? She went, that's wasabi. I was like, yeah, great. So literally like a whole great big just spoonful. And Amy messaged me just a minute ago. She went, oh, don't forget the wasabi. I was like, yeah, okay. So that was a sort of, and obviously sort of Amy, Abby and Jenny, that, you know, they were crying sort of thing, because I'm literally there. I was like tears like this through the heat. And actually, it sounds like really good Cowfish, but I'll be honest, that's a little travel tip. Don't go there. It wasn't great. I'll be honest with you. They're not going to do me any favours for that, and I'm never going to sort of go any there again. But it's one of the worst meals we had. It wasn't great, so don't go there.
Rinse them on TripAdvisor, guys.
Exactly.
That's my advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you need more wasabi.
Yeah. So one of the things I always think is fantastic about travel is meeting people that you would never, ever get to meet if you wasn't, you know, this walk of life, this travel that takes us to another part of the world. These people are living their lives thousands of miles away. Dave, we'll go to you because we know you're having a delay problems on your end. Did you meet anybody of any interest, any stories you could tell us, any curious characters?
Well, I spoke about one, the guy from Bavaria. He was my, definitely met him. He was very interesting. Other than that, the only other person that we actually probably met enough to speak to was actually the lady whose villa we were renting. It's actually a massive house that she rented out half of it, and it was half of it because she used to be married, used to own the house, and then had a bit of a messy divorce and literally built a wall straight down the middle of the house, like right up the middle of the staircase through the house and split it into two.
No way.
And we got to know, she's incredibly helpful, brilliant, brilliant host, was there for anything you wanted. On the last day, we were going back to pick up a case, she just fixed a hammock together. Her son had failed badly to help her. So we just had a look, said, well, you've got the legs upside down. So me and Catherine and the kids helped sort it all out. And then we were just trembling in sweat. It's like, you're really hot. So they said, oh, you better come in and have a drink. So then she invited her into a house. And then it was like, you know, you're just like friends all of a sudden, and you're like sitting down having coffee, just chatting away, getting a life story and everything. It's just really interesting. So, you know, yeah, I mean, she's from England, but 30 years ago she used to sing and stuff and went out there when she was 11. So she's a lovely person. She didn't have to do, you know, she went way above and beyond, and inviting her into your house to have a cool down, because she'd help with the hammock sort of thing. It was just really nice that, you know, to see that.
Cool. Cool enough. My dad used to live in Lanzarote. I think it was Lanzarote. Playa Blanca. I think that's in Lanzarote.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. That's, yeah. You were in the land of Vic Ferrari, and unfortunately you didn't get to meet up with him. He lives in Florida, doesn't he? But did you meet anybody else of interest?
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's always those people that, you know, you go to parks and, you know, you queue in a lot, so you get to sort of people watch and you sort of see that similar people. But it's not really it's not meeting one person as such. It's just, I said to the missus when we were there, literally America is like the land of all shapes and sizes, because you literally do see all shapes and sizes. And because we're in Florida and, you know, it was quite hot, let's just say that some of these people, that they weren't too scared of sort of showing a little bit of skin, sort of thing, with the various items that they're wearing. And you're just looking at some, I'd say some of the women in particular, but, and you just think, really? I just don't wear that. I don't need to be seeing that sort of thing. But it's obviously 40 degree heat, and hey, who's me to sort of judge what they wear and stuff? And I'm not on about sort of body shaming anyone, but you just think, come on, you know, like, just have a word sort of thing, you know what I mean? But there's always those people in the queues, and you sort of get chatting, and there's, where are you from? And we did see somebody, and they were from, where were they from? They were from, was it somewhere like Holmes Chapel or somewhere like that? And literally, really? You know, yeah, you go like halfway across the world sort of thing, and you're in a queue, and they were like, oh, recognise the accent, where you're from, and start talking at a little place called Alsace, and you probably won't know it. Yeah, we do. It's like, oh, right, and I'm sure they said it was something like Amy's just said Newcastle, like Newcastle Underline. So literally, like, and you're just like, really? Do you know what I mean? Literally in a queue in Florida, it's like unbelievable.
That's mad, isn't it? That is mad. You go all the way across the world and you see someone who went to the same school as you, as it turns out, or their friend went to the same school.
Yeah, their best mate went to the same school that my daughters did. So it was, you're in the queues and you're walking around the parks and you sort of see the same people all the time and stuff when you're in the queues, and it just fascinates you. And I'd stay there just like earwigging all the time, but you know, you have to sort of move on and stuff. But just the characters that you see, and I love sort of people watching and stuff. It's great, and you get to do it a lot when you're sort of in a queue and stuff, and you're sort of snaking and meandering through. You do get to sort of chat and stuff. And what I find is the Americans, they are dead chatty. They will just talk. They literally will just talk to you. And as soon as they know that you're from the UK, it's like, oh my gosh, what part of the UK are you from? And you're like, yeah, we're about 3 hours out of London. And they're like, oh, right, okay. You know, they're not telling them that that's like, you know, 3/4 way up the country sort of thing. But you basically just say 3 hours outside of London, and that's it. Yeah. You know, to them, that's it sort of thing. So,
indeed. One of the nice parts of my trip was getting to meet a lot of my cousin's friends and his co-workers and stuff like that. One guy I will give a shout out to is a guy called Ron, who, if you've seen the pictures that I've shared on Facebook, if you watched the episode a couple of weeks ago that we did when we had Killer Kennedy on, I had a cowboy hat on, and Ron was the guy who said, we need to get this guy a cowboy hat. So massive shout out to Ron. He was an absolutely sound guy. I went for breakfast with him and Bo, and just to listen to him talk about the stuff that they do, because they're both police officers, and listen, just to be sat there in a diner. Honestly, it's one of those moments where you just have to pinch yourself, because it was phenomenal. It really was phenomenal. And if you've seen the pictures that I've shared, Ron's car was absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. He drove a Ford Torino, and it was a thing of absolute beauty. But go check that car out if you don't know what it looks like. But yeah, absolute sound guy. Him and his wife, Kathy, who was a direct relative of General Custer. So she was a real character. And I will say, if you're watching, happy birthday, Kathy, because it was her birthday yesterday. Hope you had a good day. And she's planning on retiring soon, so let's see if that happens. But yeah, the people like that you meet are absolutely phenomenal. And like you say, there's a different kind of congeniality, I think, in America. Wherever you go, I was made to feel welcome. And they're very friendly and very talkative. And this is where, you know, my daughter is indeed a direct relative of, you know, she's got that American in her blood. So when we were in Atlanta airport, we were on the way and we went dashing over to the gate just to find out where we were. We were there about 3 hours early, but we just like to know our bearings. So we went, there was a guy there who just comes and goes, you missed it. Plane's gone. I missed it, dude. We're not getting to Cleveland. It's like, that's fine. I'm not trying to get to Cleveland. I'm on the next one out of this gate in San Antonio. And then I'm talking to my wife, and my daughter is there literally having a full-on conversation with this guy. Yeah, we're going to San Antonio. And he's showing her pictures on his phone of the time that he went to San Antonio when he did the river walk and stuff like that. Absolutely mad. Yeah, it's wonderful. I do think travel does really sort of broaden the horizons.
Yeah.
So we touched a little bit on food as well. I guess you had a bad experience there. What was your favorite? What was the best food you ate while you were out there? I've already told you that mine was the barbecue that we had for my 50th birthday at Bo's house. But what was yours, dude?
I'm just trying to think back, because if I'm honest, all I can really remember is sort of chicken tenders and chips or burgers and chips, because that's pretty much all that you get in. Well, that's all really you get when you're in the parks. You know, you get your meal deals. It's like cheeseburger, chicken burger. You know, that's about it, sort of thing. I'm trying to think in the evening. We had a nice meal. And actually, when we went, just an aside, we went to City Walks. And my cousin and her family, they were in the States and they were in Florida and they were in the parks. So we said, oh, well, if you know, if we can align our sort of, you know, our schedules, we'll try and meet up. And we did. So my cousin, her husband, their two girls who literally live like 20-second walk away from us, we ended up having a lovely meal in sort of the sports bar on City Walks. And that was a lovely night. You know, we got some lovely photos and it's like, you know, you go halfway across the world and see lucky you meet sort of thing. And that was good. I'm trying to remember what I had. I think I had a Wagyu burger, I think. And that was decent. I had some, what did I have in? I think I had like a jambalaya, I think, one of the places that was quite nice. I can't remember. I know that Amy, if she's still listening, she'll probably tell us what's the best one. Can't remember. All I can remember is the park food, which is like I say, burger and chips, chicken and chips. That was it. So anyway, yeah, Bubba Gump's we did again. And Bubba Gump's is quite a decent place. Although, ironically, we ate in Bubba Gump's the first time in Florida. We've eaten in the one in London. And the one in London wasn't a patch on the one in Florida. So then, obviously, we went back and while we're there this time, we went back to Bubba Gump's again. So we ate in there. And so that's always pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've eaten a Bubba Gump's in Vegas. I do love a Bubba Gump. Just a quick shout out to Stuart as well, who shared a story that him and his wife went to New York and tried getting into Trump Tower, but was not allowed in as Donald Trump was in the building with loads of security with him, and he was president at the same time. If you'd have tried that in a prison in Georgia just recently, you probably would have found a very similar situation. Dave, any special meals, any excellent meals you had while you were out in Lanzarote?
We did eat out a few times, but I've just been trying to think and remember. I can't, apart from an Italian restaurant, I have spaghetti bolognese. That was nice.
Who'd have thought it? Spaghetti bolognese in an Italian restaurant, wow. Much
else. If we gave you long enough to come up with something.
I'm trying to, I don't think Amy's still watching, but I say that the one that Abby desperately wanted to go to was that cowfish place because she wanted the sushi. But yeah, that didn't turn out. She said she enjoyed it, but
one of my favourite foods is Tex-Mex food and Mexican food. I love it. Literally, I could eat tacos, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And we did, to be honest. We had, like, Bo made some brisket tacos one morning for breakfast, and we had this cilantro or coriander dip that went on top of it, and it was absolutely phenomenal. But, yeah, the different places that we went had Mexican food were also absolutely fantastic. So, curiously enough, I don't know about you, as soon as one holiday's over, I get pissed off. I'm back at work, and I'm frustrated, and I want to have something to look forward to. What are your plans for 2024? I mean, I've still got a holiday coming up in Wales in October time, I think, but have you guys jumped on the internet and picked up any? We'll go to Dave first. I'm giving him warning now. By the time I finish this sentence, we're going to ask you a question and say, dude, have you booked any holidays for 2024 yet, or any ideas where you think you're going?
Originally, we wanted to go to Paris to watch something in the Olympics, but we decided that logistically and cost-wise, that's just going to be very difficult because we're not going to have tickets. So you're going to end up watching just like triathlon or something like that. And it's just that sounds like a massive headache and very expensive. But Alice in particular wants to go to Paris, want to go to Disneyland, and we also want to go and see our friends in Germany. So we're probably going to go somewhere in France, probably stay somewhere in Paris. And where our friends live in Germany, they're right on the west coast, wasn't the coast in Germany, the west of Germany, and then travel into a few days in Paris, a few days in Disneyland, Disney World, Disneyland Paris, whatever it's called, and then pop over a few days in Germany. I think that's the current working plan anyway.
Cool. And have you ever been to one of the Disney parks before? You have, haven't you? In California, was it?
Is that the one on the west side? Yeah, been to that one, and then Universal in Florida.
Cool. Guys, are you got any plans for next year?
Yeah, we've a couple of different options. Like I say, we're not entirely sure. We suspect that both Amy and Abby will be with us, so I think we're sort of planning for them both to be with us, sort of thing. So I think we're sort of we're done with what we were classed as the sort of slob holiday and stuff, you know, where you sort of go for 2 weeks and you just sit on a sort of lounge and you don't really do a lot else. I think we're more into the actually, you know, going to do stuff. Jenny is desperate to do Rome. I've never done Rome. I'd like to go. I suspect what we might do, we might leave Rome until maybe 2 or 3 years' time when the kids perhaps aren't with us, but we'll then do maybe go back to our youth and do the old sort of backpacking and do the old interrailing, because we'd quite like to do sort of Rome, Florence, Venice, you know, and then maybe do like 2 or 3 nights in each of those places and then go maybe to the Amalfi Coast and just do like a week there at the end type thing. So, but I say not do it on the cheap, but do it and just interrail it, because, you know, the rail network in Italy is second to none, really. It's quick, it's efficient, they're clean, they're tidy, you know, they're dead easy to get around. So potentially we might look at doing that. I've got a couple of good friends who swear by cruises, and again, we've never done a cruise. So we were looking at a cruise, now whether or not, and it sounds like one extreme to the other, we were contemplating either a Norwegian fjords sort of cruise or a West Indian Barbadian cruise. And it's like really, really hot or really, really cold.
A bit of a difference.
I would quite like to go and see the Northern Lights and go and do the sort of Norwegian fjords and stuff. That'd be quite cool.
Yeah, funnily enough, you know, I haven't booked it yet, but probably will be booked before the end of the week. I think we're going to do a Norwegian fjords cruise. Now, right. I've never done a cruise before, but you speak to the likes of Big Titty from the Titty and China Show, massive fan of cruises, and everybody you speak to has ever done a cruise. Do you find this? Nobody has ever got anything bad to say about it. I don't know anybody who's never said they'd never do one again.
No,
I don't know whether it's for me, so I might be that one person that says never, never again. But I'm going to give it a go. And the Norwegian one seems the one for me, you know what I mean? Just to see the different sizes. It looks quite beautiful. I watched a few videos on YouTube, and I'm convinced that, you know, the wife wanted to do a cruise, and I managed to coerce her into doing that one. And also, guys, I'll tell you what I've done, because you've done every centre parks apart from Alverton, haven't you, in the UK?
No, we've done Alverton. It's Woburn we haven't done.
I was Woburn, sorry. Yeah, you're quite right. You're quite right. Well, I don't want to make you too jealous, dude, but we have just booked Longley, so we will be... We'll be completing it before your good selves.
Oh, no, well, yeah, nice. We've done Longley. It's Longley's great. Longley, it is. It's lovely. Oh, you Ron's on. So big shout out to Ron.
Absolute shout out to Ron. Like I say, I don't know if you caught it earlier, but we were just wishing your wife a happy birthday. It was a birthday yesterday, so please pass on our regards. And yeah. Like he says, he loved having us in Texas. God bless him. He's clearly got very low standards, but we absolutely love being there and sharing in those experiences with you. And we can't wait till we can get back to Texas again and just catch up with everybody there, because honestly, it was phenomenal. For me, you know, I love Vegas, but for me, that holiday tops anything else I've done by a country mile.
It's weird, you know, we just go back to some cruises and stuff, and for me it's like, oh my god, it's for like really old people, and you know, you think, oh my god, I've got to go to the captain's table, it's all that stuffy and this, that and the other, but actually pretty much everybody that I've spoken to has gone, it just so isn't like that. It's like it just isn't, you know, the fact that you can hop on and hop off and you get to see a couple of different places, and you can say that, you know, we go to this country or this country or this country or this island, this island, this island, you know. So we will do a cruise at some point. We're just not sure what the climate will be. But yeah, we haven't booked anything yet for next year, but we've got a couple of ideas.
Indeed, indeed. And Paul says next year he's going to Vegas again. God bless you, dude. You're not making me jealous at all. And then he'll be in sunny Stoke in the summer. Well, guess what, dude? I don't want to brag, dude, but I'm going to be there tomorrow. If we can get him on the podcast, then why not? And Stuart says 2024, hopefully he'll be going back to New York. There's still loads to see and do there. I guess you've been to New York, haven't you? What did you make of it? I loved it. I love New York.
I loved it. Absolutely love New York. I was a little bit... I might get shot for this. I was a little bit underwhelmed with Times Square, just because it's not really a square. It's just like almost like a V sort of thing. And obviously you've got one Times Square, which is the newspaper building or whatever, the New York Times building or whatever. And I was obviously the legalization of certain C-class drugs made the aroma of New York and particularly Times Square not hugely appealing. But I loved it. I thought it was a great place. The further out you go of Times Square, and we did, you know, we did Trump, we did Rockefeller, you know, we got so lucky with the weather. The day we did Statue of Liberty, and it was just the most clearest day, and it was amazing. And we came back, and as a surprise to Amy and Abby, we did the Friends tour. So we went to where, the apartment building was, and then we actually went into the where they did the studio, and they got all the memorabilia and stuff. So we did that, and that was pretty cool. And then the following day, it was a little bit overcast, a little bit miserable, and you're thinking, God, all these people have gone out to like see the Statue of Liberty that day. You know, their experience is just going to be so diminished compared to ours, because it's a bit, like I say, a bit overcast and a bit rainy and stuff. But I love New York. I loved all the three cities we went: New York, Vegas, San Fran. And for each for different reasons, I loved each of them. New York is just a big city, 24-hour city. Vegas is just mad, like a city on steroids. It's just opulence and over the top and in your face and overindulgence and just everything in between. And then San Fran was a lot more of a chilled out. There was a lot more of a chill out sort of feeling for San Fran. But then having said that, Golden Gate Bridge, Alcatraz, you know, they were amazing. You know, Alcatraz is really haunting, and you go over and you see it and stuff, and it is incredible to go over there. But yeah, we had a great time, and I would go back, and I'm glad to see Stuart has agreed with me, and he said, I agree with you on Times Square. So I'm not the only one, so that's good. So that's two of us that are going to be shot.
Indeed, yeah. I must admit, I find Times Square a little bit underwhelming itself. It's one of those ones where you're walking through, you think, oh, I'm here, is this it?
Yeah, is this it? Like Leicester Square is so much better than Times Square.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Do you not think, you know, Leicester Square in London is so much better than Times Square?
Tube station's a bit dicey.
Yeah, there's a bit of a tooth down there somewhere. They're all cheap.
Yeah, there is a bit of a tooth, and probably a little bit of my jaw as well. That's where I broke my skull. In case you don't know that story, that's one for another day. So just out of interest, then, we're coming to the end of this podcast. We're coming up to around about the hour. We've been plagued with bad Wi-Fi on Dave's behalf. So we'll go to Dave first and ask him, dude, you got any dream trips? As Gaz said earlier, like, you know what I mean? We're 50 years old now. So the stretch out in front of us is shorter than the stretch behind us, with the risk of ending this on a depressing note. Have you got any trips that you absolutely have to take before you shuffle off this mortal coil?
I don't think there's any that I've got an absolute burning desire to do. But as I said a while ago, we've been talking with the kids, you know, Albert wants to go to Japan. Alice wants to go, I don't know, a couple of places, he said, can't remember where, but somewhere expensive and far away. Yeah, I'd like to go to all the typical sort of, touristy is not the right word, but, you know, like Rome, like Venice, you know, just places like that are seen as a destination with the architecture and the culture and the places. I'd like to go to India. I'd like to go to China, but, you know, that's, you know, questionable, isn't it, I suppose. So I think there's just lots of places. And I think, we joke with the kids, but it's not really a joke once they've cleared off. That the hope is that, you know, me and Catherine have the time, and it's to go to these places. I mean, it's far easier when you haven't got kids in tow. You know, it's half the cost, basically, for a start. And it's just far less stress. So, you know, I think the plan is a few more holidays with the kid, letting them perhaps choose where they want to go. And then they bugger off, and then there's go to lots of places. I think that's the general idea.
Fair play. Thanks for rubbing it in there that my kids being 6 and 4, they have a much longer to wait than you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to go to Vietnam. I'd like to go to Vietnam. I'd like to go just to see Vietnam. I think I'd like to do it on route. Both myself and Jenny have been to Australia, and we said we would love to go back. You know, I went down most of the eastern coast, but there's, you know, I haven't been to Melbourne. I'd love to go to Melbourne. You know, I didn't really do the Barrier Reef when we were there, so I'd quite like to do that. So me and Jenny said we would love to go back to Australia, maybe do, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in there, maybe if we could. I'm not so hung up on maybe South America. I know people are talking about Christ the Redeemer and all of that, and Rio de Janeiro. I'm not hugely sold on that. I think go east as opposed to sort of go south almost. I think there's obviously places in Europe that I'd really like to go, but they're not really bucket list. I mean, I'm really lucky. A couple of my bucket list places we've done. I said I wanted to go to Vegas. I said I wanted to see the Grand Canyon, seeing that. I said I wanted to go see the big sequoia trees. and we did that when we were in, heading out towards San Fran, you know. So I've been really lucky. The one bucket list for me is to see the Bears play at Soldier Field. So I'd love to go and see the Bears play at Soldier Field. That's still bucket list stuff for me. I'd like to go to Chicago. And I mean, Jenny, we'll do an American, you know, your typical Route 66, or you do your Atlantic Drive or whatever, your Pacific Drive, sorry. You know, so there's still places that we definitely want to tick off. But similar to Dave, you know, I think that's 5-6 years in the future where both kids are perhaps through uni, got family of their own, and then you'd like to think you can do, you know, spend the time sort of travelling. I absolutely agree with Stuart, who's just said, I do like the idea of Canada. Yeah, me too. It's a massive place. I think you see every climate that there is just in the one country, I think. But yeah, I'd quite like to do Canada. Quite like to go and see the Bears. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And just an aside there, so one of the other people I got to meet in Texas was a guy by the name of Kevin, who we've had on the podcast before when we looked at cover bands and stuff like that. And Kevin has actually done Route 66 quite a few times and actually deviated from that route a little bit and actually got to go down into New Mexico and go to the jail that Billy the Kid escaped from. That is incredible to go and see that. So, yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list. The other one, obviously, is to get back to Texas, you know what I mean? So I think all my goals seem to be within the southern states of America. And I can't wait to fulfill some of those dreams. Speaking of the Bears, though, dude, so next week we're going to be looking at the kickoff of the NFL season, which is forthcoming. We're going to be looking at the idea of a franchise based in the UK or even a conference based in Europe. And we're joined by the guys from the Pigskin podcast to be talking about that. So that should be something to look forward to. So, shall we close it out? And I also, before we do close it, we've glossed over a comment there from Paul. Yes, mate, oatcakes, whiskey on us. And that is indeed what we will call that podcast when you join us, oatcakes and whiskey on us. So, guys, do you want to say your goodbyes first? We'll go to Dave first because he's having issues, the boy.
I'm always having issues. I was just one thing I was going to say, actually, that we didn't cover in terms of memories from the holiday, and I think Gaz touched on this when he was talking about not many of them left and creating those memories and doing things that you perhaps shouldn't do or you don't want to do with the kids because they want to do it. And, you know, Albert really wanted to go bodyboarding loads, and with my back, it's just such a high-risk strategy that I was being told by the wife and the daughter, don't be mad, you know, it's crazy. But we went and did it, and you know, Catherine and Alex were sitting on the rocks, like terrified, because I was just getting battered by these waves, and I was just rolling around laughing like a turtle on its back, and Catherine and Alex are just thinking, my God, is he all right? Is he drowning? Albert's coming over. You're all right, Dad. But I'm just laughing because it's just hilarious. She tried to stand up, knocked down again, and it was just brilliant. And Catherine actually caught two photos. One was when me and Albert were about 12 feet apart, and we both caught this wave. I mean, it was only about 5 or 6 feet high, they weren't massive, but we both caught it. And Albert's just looking at me, smiling, and say, Dad, you're doing it. And then he took another photo about 15 seconds later, and we were right next to each other, and he's just looking at me, laughing. And the two pictures together just kind of sum up what it meant for Albert and for me to be doing that together. So break those memories. Get the photos while you can.
Yeah, dude. Totally agree. You know, I always think when you see people at concerts and at different places like that, and they're watching it through their phone, and I do think, just for the love of God, enjoy it and experience it firsthand. Live with the memories until they fade. But there is something to be said for taking photographs. My wife is she takes photographs. She takes a shitload of photographs, to be honest with you. And I have to be thankful because we always do a photo book of all of our holidays, and we've done one in Texas, and they're great to look back. And I was looking back on it yesterday when I was jotting down ideas for this podcast. So, guys, did you want to say your goodbyes?
I really enjoyed this episode. Again, apologies if I sound sort of a little croaky at times, but it's been great just being back with the lads, sort of, you know, chewing the fat, just listening to stories of their summer, you know, and it's always nice to sort of reflect on the things that you've done and look forward to the things that you still hopefully can do. So, you know, here's to a couple more episodes in this series of sort of travel like a tall boy, and who knows, you know, we'll do a follow-up where we talk about the next adventures that we all go on. So yeah, love being back, look forward to next week, and Gaz around.
Indeed, indeed. So that just leaves it to me to say thank you for listening. Thank you, you guys, for sharing your stories. I've loved hearing them. You know, I've loved my holiday this year. It's been extra special for me, and I look forward to doing something similar again in the very, very near future. Bo, if you're listening, make sure you do make it over here to the UK as you plan. And if not, guess what? You'll be having a few guys knocking on your door in Texas, whether you like it or not, because, you know, we'll be catching up regardless. So, guys, thank you very much for all your comments on the podcast as well. We love it now that we do it live stream. To have all these comments tonight again, like we had the other day and the day before, has been absolutely fantastic. And we appreciate every single one of them. So thank you very much, and good night.